Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Moving Spotlight Podcast. I am one of your hosts, John Ruby. I'm here with...
the other host, Corbin Coyle. Hey, everybody.
That's right. Number one and number two. As you can tell, one of us has a voice for podcasts, and one of us is working on his voice.
I'm trying my best.
I didn't say it was you. Maybe it was me.
No, I mean, I could still be trying my best and still be better than you.
That's true. We've got a voiceover person here today who's going to be the judge. No, we're not going to put on the spot like that. Before we get to Corbin, I want to ask you, what is something, a fun topic, that you've gotten like personalized or like bespoked, like just for you? Like, and how did it go? You know what I mean?
Oh, interesting. So one time I got a button-up shirt, like fully fitted for me and everything, and that was really nice. But then I got my initials on the sleeve, and that felt really cool to like kind of go to. I think I was going to a wedding, so it felt really good to have that and just be like, this is my shirt, it fits me perfectly. And then I grew out of it, and so I've never worn it again. That's the one.
Was it a one time?
It was one time. I was like the skinniest I've ever been, and I was like, I should have really gotten it a little bigger.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, what about you?
I just got a personalized license plate.
Ooh.
So I actually had one for a while that was Ruby, my last name space, and then 5, which was my favorite number and like my basketball number. And then I only had it for like a month. And when I sold that car, I forgot to take the plate off. So that plate is out there somewhere. You know what I mean? And I was like, no. So I only had like very little. So, and that was a couple of years ago. So then I just recently got, WI Ruby for Wisconsin Ruby, because I always try to enjoy my Wisconsin roots in the Midwest. And so I'm excited. I haven't put it on the car yet, but it took like a year to get the personalized plate. California's so backed up. It took so long.
Oh, really? I thought it takes like 6 weeks or something. It takes a year.
No, I honestly, if I looked, I think it was like nine months to get it. But I also got the old school. I don't know if people know the black license plate with the yellow. It's kind of the vintage. It's kind of, cool looking. So
I like that.
That was a fun one. And I also remember the first time I like booked a big commercial, I bought a suit too. I went to Hugo Boss, Corbin. And so when you mentioned that, I was like, I still have that suit, by the way. But I bought a suit and I felt so good paying for it myself and getting it tailored.
Yeah, it feels good. Actually, speaking of license, there's one license plate I thought was really good. This person I knew was like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, H, A, K, L, O, P. And her name was Noel. So she put Noel in her license plate. And I thought that was genius.
Wait. You went through that too fast.
It was all the letters that you could fit on there, but missing the letter N. So her name, or sorry, L. So it's Noel.
Noel. Oh, so she did the letters right around L or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, because I was looking at it, I was like, what is that? What are you putting on your license plate? And then it was like, is your name Noel?
That is impressive. That is like next level.
Yeah, that's next level. Very confusing.
Well, I don't know if our guest could have figured out that riddle there, Corbin, but maybe she could have. I mean, it's impressive. So I want to get to her because I like that. I like that, Corbin. I want to welcome to the show actor, voiceover actor, and voiceover coach, Jennifer Sims. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, hi, everybody. Hello. I never would have figured that out. I would be like, that's a bunch of letters.
I think I missed it, too. I think I did N. We will figure it out later. We'll fix it in post.
Very clever.
I did see recently, just on the freeway, I drove by, my wife and I drove by like a truck that was like moving rocks. And on the back of it said, you know, all these jokes about rocks have been taken for granted. That was the joke. And Annie thought it was hilarious. I don't think puns should be belonged, but my wife loved it. So she loves a good pun. Oh gosh, no.
You're surrounded.
You're surrounded by punsters. And I have a personalized license plate, the black and yellow kind. So.
Ooh, that I do like.
Oh,
that
look at her like. Brag right out
the gate. Right out of the gate, right away.
Voice actors.
Jen, we want to hear about your journey, but even before we get to that, we want to kind of talk about what are some of the first steps that like a voiceover actor should take or needs to take to get into that world since you've spent some time in it.
Yeah, it's a great question. And since, actors, it's definitely a specific skill set. So I'll always say to actors, you have everything you need. You're an actor. But I will always suggest that you do start with some training, like to let your skill set translate. So while actors are like, yeah, I'll just step up to the mic. I used to be an advertising agency producer. I worked with some wonderful actors, like Emmy winners, Oscar winners, and they struggled a little bit, to be honest with you. They got there, But it took them a little moment to translate their already excellent skill set to the mic. So I would always suggest, wherever you are in your acting world, a little bit of training is helpful just to translate your skill set to the mic. So that's usually where it starts, with just some skill set translation. So that.
What are some of those like just to give a few examples, like skill sets? Is it like just being comfortable around the mic, and like how loud you have to be moving around it?
Exactly, particularly if you're a theatrical trained actor. I have theatrical background, and there's a tendency when we're theatrically trained to be a little bit bigger than we need to be on the mic. You know, we want to play to the back row. We want to be possibly a little more dramatic or a little extra. And there's only one bookable trend right now, and it's been the trend for a while, and it's to be really natural and really authentic and very believable, particularly in commercial. And that's a little smaller on the mic. So if we're being a little bigger or a little more dramatic, it doesn't come off well. So we need to be a little smaller, a little more natural than we think on the mic. So to get that natural, more authentic, more conversational read, it takes a little bit of practice to be very natural and kind of just conversational and connected on the mic than we think.
That makes sense.
Takes a, yeah.
Another skill, I just muted myself and coughed and unmuted again. Wouldn't you
I
say that's a voiceover skill to be
think
able to
that's a
do
good
that? The
voiceover.
audience had no idea,
Yeah,
because that means I'm proficient with the technology.
exactly. The mic's not a great scene partner. I will always say that the mic never tells me how pretty I am or laughs at my joke. So, you know, to create a relationship on the mic is a little bit of a different skill set.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you, because I think when you're talking about the naturalness, which is really interesting, because I worked in commercial casting for a long time and like on camera stuff, and that also kind of trended towards being very natural and stuff. But I do know with like animation auditions, that's still, especially for like kids and stuff, is pretty big. So when you're auditioning for like a commercial versus animation, isn't there a difference there a lot of times?
Definitely. For animation, yes, I would say for animation, definitely go bigger, but you still need to create that relationship and you need to leave spaces. I think one thing that we don't realize in animation, and animation isn't necessarily my wheelhouse. I don't coach in animation. As a matter of fact, I just did my first animation demo last year, so that was really exciting for me. But I did learn a lot. Like, one thing I learned in animation is that you do need to leave space for that other character. If you're doing a series of lines, you need to create sort of like relationship even within that, where it's like if you have a series of lines, I don't think I'm explaining this very well, but you need to create ambiance in a sense, which is a little bit different. So you can go bigger if that, hopefully that makes sense. Again, pretty much proving that animation is not my wheelhouse, but I'm with you.
No, but you touched on something that I think is also interesting, which is a demo reel. And then let's talk a little more in your wheelhouse, which is like a commercial demo reel. How did you kind of, build yours, and how do you recommend people kind of, build one of those up?
I definitely am not a fan of the DIY demo. A lot of people, when they're newer, just think, oh, I'll just grab some copy off of a library, which I definitely don't recommend as a coach, because libraries online are old. Everybody thinks, oh, I'll just grab that. And then we hear it and we think, oh, that is some really old copy. And a thousand other actors have put it on there. As a matter of fact, I had a colleague who said, hey, would you take a listen to my demo? And I did. And I'm like, uh-oh, I've heard this copy 100 times. And I'm like, did you grab all this copy off of a demo library? He's like, sure did. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm not a big fan for that reason. I'm like, don't grab library, like an online script library. So I would say work with a producer or a coach. Doesn't have to be me, obviously, and put it together professionally. So I would definitely suggest using more contemporary things in your wheelhouse, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Jenna, sometimes with like theater auditions, you've seen the same monologues over and over again. And with what you're talking about, I feel like that with some actors, a lot of actors, they put in the work, but sometimes they like bounce it back, and like to me, or I'm sure to you, they're like, well, what should I do? It's like, well, how much time have you spent, looking for that copy that fits you or that monologue? It's like, well, not that long, We'll spend a little more time, digging through
Exactly.
and clawing through stuff, because there's kind of that low-hanging fruit that everybody's done,
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember thinking when I first got started, I'm like, I can do everything. I'm an actor. And the truth is, I can't do everything. And so that's another reason that you really want to practice and learn what your signature voice is. Signature, we sometimes call it our money voice. And it's the thing that we do really, really well that is repeatable so that when the buyer or the casting agent or talent agent listens to us, it's like, yep, I know exactly what I get when I listen to Jen. It's like the thing that she does really, really well. And that's what I'm looking for so that we don't confuse the buyer. I've heard this expression before. If we confuse them, we lose them. And so if I'm trying to do something that I'm just like not good at, it's like, nah, that's not it. So why bother with Jen Sims? It's like, no, she's trying to do something that she's just not proficient at. It's not her signature. So the things on my demo are like, yep, that's what I'm good at all day long. So that's what I want to put on my demo, rather than try and confuse the buyer by going, no, that's not really you. So you want to put things that you're authentically good at on your demo.
Do you have any recommendations for people who want to be to find their signature like voice when it comes like should you be asking friends like well, how do you perceive me or is there something you should do to kind of get to that place? Because some people don't really understand who they are or how they fit into the whole puzzle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, very often, if you're an on-camera actor, if you've done any branding or surveys that way, you can just sort of translate that. I noticed that the person that I am as an on-camera actor just sort of translated as a voice actor.
Interesting.
So if you've done that, that's a good way to find out. And then just reading a lot of copy, you'll find out very quickly. I've done a lot of voiceover workout groups. That's where you work out with a bunch of other actors. Practice that copy. You'll find out very quickly, like, yeah, that didn't work out. Or you'll find out very quickly, like, yeah, that's just really my authentic voice. And stick with that. Stay in your lane, but experiment too. I'm not saying you can't stretch your vocal range, but if something's just not working, I'd say just abandon that. Like, I found out very quickly that I'm not super youthful or bubbly. It's like, no, I'm pretty authoritative, confident. So I had to very quickly sort of give up that youthful retail read. It just wasn't me. So
That makes sense.
You talked about like a voiceover group. I'm also just curious, Jen, if anything else pops like as far as like I know you mentioned classes, but like books or programs or voiceover groups, what are kind of some resources maybe that you think about that like, oh, this is, you know, is it just Google voiceover stuff? Is it like, is there places that you're like, oh, these are good, you know, worlds to explore, Facebook groups? I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing out there
Facebook is
resources.
always a good resource. You can Google voiceover workout groups. There's the voiceover resource guide is a great place to check out. I'm trying to think. I would start there. There's always meetups. Yeah.
You know, also, I don't know if for people that are in SAG-AFTRA, I do notice that like SAG-AFTRA Foundation and stuff, they have some great
Thank you for
classes.
reminding me. Yeah.
Yes,
I'm a
like I've noticed.
SAG-AFTRA member, and I'm a big fan of the SAG-AFTRA Foundation classes for sure.
Yeah, 'cause I was gonna say they've got some great stuff. What do you find challenging about being a voiceover actor and coach?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't expect that one. I think it's challenging to keep up your momentum because it's objectively sort of isolating. It's a home-based gig. So you
Was that
definitely.
because of the pandemic? Sorry, just Jen jumping in. Was that really the pandemic kind of really shifted that, or was it already kind of like that even before?
It was definitely already like that before, but absolutely after the pandemic, it went almost 100%. I mean, it was definitely
Gotcha.
going into casting offices a few times a week before the pandemic, but since the pandemic, it is pretty much 100%. Auditioning for sure. I definitely go into the studio a few times a month for gigs, but it is changed dramatically since the pandemic. So be forewarned, potential voice actors, you absolutely have to have a home studio, broadcast quality. But it's a very isolating gig, and so to keep up your momentum, we used to go into studios and you'd run into people, and that just isn't happening anymore. So I would definitely recommend to potential or people who are interested in voice acting, got to build your community because it is really kind of a lonely gig.
I have some like tactical questions to piggyback off of that. When it comes to like you mentioned like a broadcast studio stuff, is there any beginner mics or beginner tools, techs, anything that you think people should start with while they're trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I would look at the Audio Technica 2020. It's and I would check out someplace like Sweetwater.com. They have really great salespeople, super helpful. So I don't think you have to spend a ton of money to get started. Usually, a closet is a perfectly workable booth. I definitely wouldn't spend a lot of money to get started. Something like the Focusrite. I think it's the Scarlett 2i2 Focusrite. It's an interface that I would recommend. And there are tons of online tutorials like on YouTube. There's a it's called the VO Body Shop, VOBS. It's a really good if you've heard of it, it's a really good podcast by George the Tech and Dan Leonard. Really helpful to just get started and get some information. But I'd keep it simple and start small and then scale up as you need to go. But again, a closet is usually the best place to start for a booth.
I've definitely done that before. It's it
Have you
works
done? Yeah.
surprisingly well.
Yeah.
The other question I was going to ask too was when you're doing the recording, do you tend to, this is for like the newbie actors, do you tend to record just your lines? Do you have somebody read lines separately from you? And then when it comes to a callback, does that change?
So in voiceover, you would only record your lines. There's no such thing as really needing a reader. We just record ourselves. I know sometimes I've seen audio dramas or podcasts at asking for readers, but that's really unusual. And honestly, I wouldn't even bother with that. And typically in voiceover, there are no callbacks. You either book it or you don't. So we keep it pretty simple in voiceover.
That's kind of nice. I like
I know. Isn't that a great thing? That's
that.
the beauty of voiceover.
Easy.
Jen, I find, and I don't know if you've seen this, but it's interesting when I'm like doing on-camera acting, each take usually feels like it gets better and better, like when I'm doing self-tapes. But with voiceover, it usually my first take is my best, and it gets worse and worse. Now I am not, trained that well in voiceover, but I've had auditions for animation and commercials, and it just gets worse. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, why am I losing it? Have you seen that, or is
No,
that makes sense?
I totally agree with you. A lot of times in voiceover, we're getting diminishing returns. And I'll always tell a student, it's like if you're getting, particularly in commercials are short. What's the longest? 30 seconds. And if you're getting up to like take 10 or 12, you are likely getting diminishing returns. So, and it's typically because we're getting in our heads about things. And I always discourage students from like over editing things. And like a lot of times students are tempted to record and record and record and then start editing and going, well, I'm going to take the top of this one line and then I'm going to edit it with line four from this one. And I'm like, please don't do that. We can always tell. And there's really no reason to do that because we need you to be able to repeat what we've heard in the audition. And if you've over edited your audition and you can't repeat what we hear, we're not going to like that. So we really discourage that.
I also put on the Morgan Freeman filter on all my auditions. Is that helping me or hurting
Not a good
me?
idea. In other words, don't over edit,
Over filter.
don't use filters,
Yeah.
just
Don't over Morgan
normalize
Freeman
what. Yeah, don't Morgan Freeman it. Don't put on a bunch of bells and whistles. We really just want it to be what we call normalized to minus 3 dB and put it on an MP3 and send it.
Interesting. Do you, when you're recording those, I know you obviously don't splice it too much, but do you tend to just read like one line at a time, cut it, edit the two lines next to each other, or do you just kind of go boom, boom, boom all the way through?
Really, just as a rule, read it all the way through
Yeah, keep it
and
as tight as possible.
keep it. Yeah,
I like
that's
that.
just, yeah,
Wow.
what we can.
Jen, I mean, we really hammered you with these,
Oh
like
yeah,
we got
bam,
in
bam,
here,
bam.
and you,
I
this
know,
is
I was
amazing.
like,
I know. Jen's gonna be like, I need to have these questions in advance from now on.
I
But
know.
you were amazing. No, you crushed it. And I guess having so much experience in voiceover, and you've also had on camera experience. Did those kind of go hand in hand, or did you start with voiceover and then go on camera, or on camera and then voiceover? How did that kind of play out for you?
So what happened was I wanted to be an on-camera actor. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts way back when. Really couldn't get arrested as an actor, so I went into advertising, and I was an ad agency producer for a really long time, and worked with voice actors and just at some point decided, like, really made a midlife career decision, got out of advertising and went into voiceover. At some point decided to take an on-camera commercial class. And at the end of that on-camera commercial class, they had a showcase with a talent agent. And the talent agent said, I think I want you on my roster. And I was like, really? And just out of the blue, picked up an on-camera talent agent, and she sent me out for on-camera, and I started booking a lot of commercials. So it was a complete fluke. So it started voiceover and then on-camera commercial.
Wow, that's
So it
amazing.
really wasn't planned at all. So
Yeah.
that's how it happens, kids. You start your voiceover career and you'll book a bunch of on-camera commercials.
Do you feel like you pulled anything or not from like the producing side when you were doing that?
Definitely, because I feel like
Yeah.
what I knew from being an on from a producer, I've heard thousands of auditions and produced hundreds of commercials. I really know what's happening on both sides of the glass, on both sides, production and talent. I thought, well, I'm going to put this to good use because I
Yeah.
know what my role is on both sides. I know what production's thinking, I know what the ad agency's thinking, and I know my role as talent. So I just really put that to use on both sides.
Yeah, I always recommend actors to try to get on like the casting side or directing or producing, even if it's a small project, because you learn so much just from being on that side kind of the table. That's so applicable, you know, and I think it's such a great thing because you're looking at it from a different prism, and it's so helpful to have that experience, you know, because you know kind of what they're looking for, you know, not taking it personally. There's so many, you know, factors that kind of go into it.
It's really helpful. It's particularly having had my ad agency experience. It's like I really do understand when actors get so like, oh my gosh, I've been released or from this project. I'm like, I can tell you what happened. The campaign went away. They decided to kill the whole campaign. They decided to use their cousin to voice it. They went with a different gender. I've seen it all. I mean, I was on a project when they decided to have the president of the company voice the whole campaign. It happens all the time. So it's like you honestly cannot take it personally because you really never know what's gone on the other side. They kill campaigns all the time.
A buddy of mine, he booked his like a big commercial, and Tony Scott directed it, Ridley Scott's brother, and it was for like a British bank that I'm blanking on the name of it. And right after he finished the commercial, the bank like had like major financial problems, and the whole campaign like he got a copy of it. I saw it; it was great, you know, him going through it all. But they were just like they had like bankruptcy issues, so they like did no advertising, and he had just shot this like multi-million-dollar commercial. And it was completely out of his control, you know? So that you're like you're saying, like sometimes things happen and you know, you can't control that.
I was working on forget it was like a big box store, and I think I was up for the voiceover, and they decided to just use the copywriter who'd done the scratch. They're like, oh, we got so used to listening to the copywriter who's done the scratch track, we're just going to use her. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah,
All right.
that's like when they do edits for films and they put in like temp music and then they fall in love with the temp music and they're like, that's too expensive. We can't afford that, you know, that song. Wait, I do wanna once we were hitting the voiceover stuff, I did have a question, which is, do you like do vocal exercises? Is that something you used to do? Is that something you recommend? Because I was thinking about singing or vocal exercises, kind of that world with just because we didn't kind of touch on that with the voice.
I definitely believe in a good vocal warm up and even full body warm ups because it's still, even though you're using your voice, it's still a sort of like being present in your whole body. So like do a couple of downward dogs or some high knees. I'm also a big fan of tongue twisters and things because it's a full, it's an all-in exercise. And I get tongue-tied all the time. So you need to warm up your articulate lips, teeth, tip of the tongue, because you will get tongue-tied. I was gigging on a political something or other, and I got fully tongue-tied. And I just thought, oh boy. So they'll wait for you, but it's just best to not hit the mic cold. So I would just do a few red leather, yellow leathers or something before, just to feel more present and ready to go.
Yeah. I saw that you took some classes at UCB Groundlings, like, you know, kind of, you know, a while. How was that? And what were your biggest takeaways from doing some of the improv and being in the comedy world?
I'm horrible at it, but that's my biggest thing. No, I think that improv is really helpful. It's actually something that, even though we don't use it a ton in voiceover, it is something that casting actually really likes for voice actors, because we do occasionally see it, really more than you'd imagine, that occasionally we do get it on a spec that says, ad lib a little bit, make it your own. We're not allowed to rewrite the script or, steal from the product, but casting does like voice actors to have a little bit of improv experience so that we can button something or just add a little spice. So my biggest takeaway is that it keeps us a little sharp, a little fluid with the copy. So I would recommend to any voice actor to take traditional acting classes and to take improv.
Interesting. And do you ever find yourself finding, even through like the improv, like different characters that you've kind of come across, like that you're trying to, or are you still always trying to get a little bit more true to yourself? Like how does that work when it, because that's something I don't understand, is like how people practice different characters, different voices, and trying to get a something new into the mic, and it's hard, you know.
For animation?
For animation, I guess, for commercials, if they're asking for you to like kind of really go out there or whatever.
In commercial, we're just traditionally staying in our natural voice print. So I'm just always every version of me for commercial. But for
Gotcha.
animation, what I just found fun was doing every bad impression of any celebrity I could do, every bad accent I could do, imitating every neighbor on the block,
Oh,
every family member. So that's where it came in handy. So that was another good reason I enjoyed improv, because it really does allow you to just like find characters for animation or video games. So that's another good reason to take improv.
for sure. I feel like every musician I know is always listening to those sounds, you know, like somebody hitting something on a trash can or something. And similar with like a VO, you're like, oh, that neighbor is weird. Like, so you just keep listening to
I
it.
know one of my favorite, actually, it's my husband's favorite characters. We had a neighbor on the block and he's like, do Celeste. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we had a we not on the podcast, but we had come to acting class, this voiceover coach, and one of the things he said I thought was interesting was like sometimes someone who's done an accent of like a neighbor for like 20 years, they're it can be really good. Like they don't have training, but they've done that voice for so long that like it's almost like professional level. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, like they haven't trained in a sense, but they also like they're so good at that voice because they've done it so much and so often. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that totally, you know, makes sense, right?
And the one thing that I always found interesting is that we don't need a Daffy Duck or Porky Pig or Bart. We've already got all those voices. So it's the original voice that we're always looking for in animation. So as I said, animation isn't necessarily like my biggest wheelhouse. I'm still learning and just did my reel and it was a ton of fun. But it always surprises me when somebody like tells me as a coach, well, I can do a dead on Bart. And I'm like, Nancy Cartwright is Bart. We got a Bart. Who can you do? And it always amazes me, like the woman who does Serenetta Chenny is the voice of Ash on Pokemon, but she does 30 other voices on Pokemon. So when you're looking at doing animation, you've really got to bring it. So it's like, oh, I can do 12 animation voices. I'm like, good for you. Can you do 500? Because that's why animation is so challenging. And that's why people always want to get into animation. And I'm like, you've got to do hundreds of voices.
Jen, what about I know we've talked about animation and commercials. What about video games? That's a big world. Is that kind of fall between them? Is that more lean towards animation? Because I know, you know, I have a couple people in my world that work in that world, and that's
Yeah,
been,
video
you know.
game is great. I booked my first video game this past spring and it was fantastic. It's a super, it's very competitive as well. Again, not necessarily my wheelhouse. Video games are very realistic. It's really where you have to bring your A acting game. You also have to be careful about protecting your voice because there's a lot of screaming and falling off buildings. The union, as a matter of fact, has capped like fight and like taking body blows and like vocal exertion sessions. I think it's at 90 minutes or 2 hours because an actor can really hurt themselves. So if you're working on video games, I would just encourage every actor to protect their instrument. So yeah, video games are great. You really, they're just very realistic these days. So when you're thinking about video games, there are definitely heightened scenes, but and I'm not a gamer, but my understanding is it's a real acting exercise. They're very realistic these days.
Jen, I was wondering, do you have any, when you think about like either audition stories or onset stories that, you know, kind of could be like you mentioned the tongue tie, that were kind of either challenging or funny or, you know, things like that that have happened to you that pop up either on camera or voiceover?
I remember working with a celebrity when I was a producer, and another producer was with me, and she asked this celebrity if he could sound a little warmer, and he took his copy off the stand and he's like, "You want warmer?" And he threw it on the ground. He's like, "Get another actor." And I thought to myself,
Oh,
"Well, that's not the actor I want to be." So
wow.
I also remember working on when I was the voice talent, I was working on was for children's cancer, and I remember the so I was the voice talent, and they just weren't getting what they wanted, and I remember thinking it's because this is children's cancer and it sounds terrible. Like it just sounded so like down and kind of like really sad and maudlin. And I said, "Well, let me try something else." And I just sort of like remember thinking, what if we just tweaked this ever so slightly so it didn't sound like these children were gonna die today? And the client said, "That's it. That's so much better." And I just remember in that moment thinking, as talent, we really do have agency to solve the problem. So I thought, talent, solve the problem.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of when I do commercial casting and like, you know, sometimes there's certain people that are really great at the spokesman or woman roles, and it's because they're like, make this copy sound natural, and it's like the biggest pharmaceutical words you've ever seen. You're like, no one talks like that. Like that's not natural, but talent has the ability to make it sound natural, even though you're like, this is not natural copy. And it's kind of what you're saying. It's like fix our problem. We wrote it, we know it kind of sucks. Can you fix it for us? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Talent. And I always think about that too, whether I was the producer or whether I'm the talent. It's like if talent is part of the team. So, and I think the other thing talent always forgets is like, why aren't they throwing me a parade? I'm the talent. It's like you're part of the team now. Just they're not going to pat you on the back. And I think one thing that talent also forgets when you're in a supervised session is that when the talk back is off and people are on the other side of the glass and they're like, yep, they're not talking about us and saying, terrible things about us, but it can be nerve-wracking. And I always remind my students, like, don't worry about it. Just stay calm. They're talking about what's for lunch or how to change the copy. And people do get so tense. It's like, am I doing a terrible job? Like, no, you're not. Just relax. I know I've been there, I've been on both sides, but I know how nerve-wracking it can be. So just solve the problem.
Yeah, I feel like people forget it's another job. Like at any other place, if accounting wasn't solving something, legal wouldn't come on over and be like, "Hey, this is how you do it." But they could maybe figure it out. Like maybe they have a moment of genius, just like an actor. You just kind of want to keep trying and keep going. And if you have a good idea, then maybe speak up. But yeah, just it's a job.
Just kind of stay calm and carry on. But I think as actors, we just get in our heads and go, what are they saying about me? Am I doing a great job? And it's like,
Yeah, you can't help it.
no, I know.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that idea of fear, you know, where we hold fear, what we're afraid of, and how we are trying to hopefully come to a situation where we're collaborating and being part of the team. But you, a lot of times as an actor, you come in and you feel kind of like less than, and you have fear. You're like, I'm going to do it wrong. You know, I don't want to do it wrong. And so I think, you know, those, like you're saying, Jen, those insecurities can pop up. And I think, you know, it's natural, but part of when you've got more experience and when you've done it longer, or if you're working with people you know, then there's that trust there, right? And I think that's what's hard, is we go from kind of job to job, and some people are sweet about stuff and some people are not. And so I think with what you're saying, it's a very natural thing, but the idea of kind of building up your shell as an artist, you're outside and saying, okay, I know they're not, you know, talking direct, you know, they would let me know if something's off on the copy or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's always, yeah, like not taking it personally, you know. Exactly.
It's just so hard to do. It's so hard to do. I mean, it really is. I mean, I know.
It is. We're actors. Like, we take everything.
Exactly.
It feels personal, of course.
Yeah. I think it definitely does. And, you know, when we book it, we feel like, I did it. You know, I did it. Or if we don't, we're like, I did something wrong, you know, or something. I don't know. So I think, but you're right. I think you're trying to get to that level. I always think that what helps is looking at the next thing forward. That's always really helped me, because it's easy to dwell, and that can be kind of a mind effort. So you really want to kind of have something going on that kind of is either your own project or, you know, an outside project that for you're sure. auditioning for, preparing, or a class or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree for sure.
Jen, is there anything else that we didn't hit on that's on your brain that you wanted to discuss?
No, I think you have covered the gamut. I really appreciate you inviting me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about my passion for voiceover and community. And
thank you for taking all of our questions. We were just flying at you. I appreciate it.
Great, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
we did a good job.
Oh, you did great.
No, you did great. And did I see? Are you originally from Santa Barbara, Jen?
I am.
Okay, because I just went up there with my wife and son, and I think I've aged into Santa Barbara because I just loved it. So I was like, now I'm at the age where I could just appreciate this place. Relax. It's so lovely up there. So,
yeah, it is lovely. It's funny when you grow up there, though, all you want to do is leave.
Get out. Yeah.
All you want to do is go back.
Exactly. And then you're like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. The train goes right to downtown. It's awesome.
Yeah, it does.
Jen, we have one final thing before we get you out of here, which is
your best bad acting.
All right. So I'm this excited. Is a fun one. Yeah.
I excel at bad acting.
This is my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
It's not a long one. So this is a fun one from a movie, and what we thought could kind of be fun. It's not that long, but if you want to, it's funny. You can do a voice, you can do it natural, because we already talked about this, but the idea is just to have fun with this. Kind of go for it, and we might give you a redirect just to play around.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten.
Oh my god, amazing.
I just pictured like a little adorable creature like on a tree branch. So I love it. Corbin, do you have a redirect?
I excel at bad acting.
I want to see it as like your producer's side, just like very very getting the stuff done.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgot.
So good. So fun. I was like news anchor. I liked it.
I really just wanted to give her the note, Corbin, just warmer and have her throw the copy down. But that's too soon. It's too soon for that.
Just like the celebrity.
No, that's not that. Let me think of. Oh, let's do. Can you do like a laid back beach Santa Barbara style since we hit on? Yeah.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten.
I have a little Valley girl in there, too.
Valley in there.
It was Valley Beach, where the valley meets the beach, wherever that is.
That was been it, Jen. Studio City for a long time.
That felt Studio City. I was going to say it. Yep. Oh, my God. Jen, this was amazing.
Thank
it was
you,
so
Jen.
Lovely. We really appreciate it. And you know, it's such a cool world to explore voiceover. Obviously you've got experience in it. And I think a lot of actors are always curious about it, and they know it's kind of a insular world. It's like, well, the people in it, you know, they work a lot, which is great, but it's hard to get in and stuff. So it's great to kind of have some of those mysteries kind of a little bit unlocked, at least in a sense. And so we appreciate, you know, kind of sharing, you know, what you've been through and your experience and your knowledge, really.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really great.
Yeah. And Jen, if people want to learn more about you, where should they go? What's the best thing for them to?
Sure. My website, thejensims.com, or I'm on the Instagram, same place, thejensims.
Thejensims.
We appreciate
Excellent.
It.
Thank you, awesome. Well, this was great. It was lovely having you. So informative. Thank you so much for being here. We really,
thank you
really
so much.
Appreciate
Happy
it.
New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Awesome. Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the
Moon and Fox Life Podcast.